Yes, it's that time of the week. Once again, you're here for the Racing Postcast, here with the Racing Post and with our sponsors, Unibet, for an action-packed weekend on ITV. We've got the Curragh to look forward to with the Irish 2000 Guineas. We've got York, we've got Haydock, and we've got my favourite course in the world, Goodwood, as well. So much action taking place, and a stellar panel, as always, on this show to take us through that action. We've got Robbie Wilders and Matt Rennie from the Racing Post, and our man looking sharp as ever from Unibet is Mr. Ed Nixon. No time for any small talk this week, gents. We've got to plough straight into the racing, and we will start off with the big race at the weekend over in Ireland, which is the Irish 2000 Guineas, coming at 3:40 at the Curragh. And Stard is the 9-4 on favourite currently, obviously behind Boeco in the 2000 Guineas at Newmarket. Distant Storm 4-1. The Secret Adversaries in 15-2. Alpass Lands 9-1 and 33-1. Bar these. I don't think after speaking off air, anyone wants to kind of go against Gustard, but I'll just quickly come to you, Matt. Do you think he's a superstar, Gustard, considering where he finished in that Guineas in comparison to the rest of the field?
Wow, that's a very good question to kick off with. I think Royal Ascot will tell that tale. I think Gustard's going to win doing handstands this weekend. Then he's facing Boeco and hopefully the French 2000 Guineas winner in the St James's Palace. And then we can really tell that it's not really till Goodwood. I think the way Boeco and Stard pulled clear in the 2000 Guineas, you can say they're incredibly good horses. I'd say they're sort of light years ahead in the 3-year-old mile division we've got in Britain and Ireland at the moment. After the Guineas, I dare say the star we could possibly have is Boeco. But Stard is just a lovely, consistent sort, and it'd be incredibly deserved if he gets a classic and a Group 1 victory as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to go to Robin this, but Ed, I'm just going to come to you because a good opportunity for you to promote some anti-post markets here. But I'm looking at the St. James's Palace Stakes field on the Unibet website, and Boeco is currently 6-5 on. Stard is now 100-30 for the St. James Palace, and the French 2000 Guineas win. I can't understand this, but Rief is 8-1, which I see as an awfully big price. But plenty of anti-post markets on the Unibet.
There are, and you love a French winner, don't you? So you're always going to think it's value. We've still got another few weeks to go and things can change. Obviously, Stard might come up and be that star, and then that will be an excellent race. The James's Palace Stakes, always a great race. When Rosalian won it, it was a much looked for event, and it will be again. But this record, this 2000 Guineas in Ireland, has a direct correlation with the English 2000 Guineas. 6 of the last 10 winners ran in the English version. I think it's 3 of the last 4 winners of the Irish 2000 Guineas came second in the 2000 Guineas. So all the stats suggest Stard. In fact, Aidan O'Brien hasn't won it that many times recently. I think it's 1 for the last 8. So he'll need to get his name back on the record books. But yeah, Stard 8-15 or Distant Storm, the first two favourites. You can't really see anything beating one of those. But yeah, Stard is 8-15, Sam, so he won't get rich backing him.
Absolutely. Yeah, none of us will be backing that horse this week and look forward to seeing him back out, but we're all in agreement. Stard is the one that will be winning the Irish 2000 Guineas. Right, let's cross back over to this side of the Irish Sea and we go to Haydock, where plenty of the action is on ITV. The 1:45 is the Hedge of Oak Stakes, a listed contest over a mile and a quarter. And currently looking at the Unibet website, Friendly Soul, 5-2 favourite currently. We Might Take the Long Ways, 3-1. Sparks Fly, 7-2. Then a bit of a jump, Notchy Classica, 7-1. Revoirs, 9-1. Double figures about the other four in the field. Robbie, to you now, you haven't said anything as of yet, but Friendly Soul in here, 594 days off the track at the time of recording currently. God, 5-2 seems awfully short, but she is potentially the star act.
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it, Sam? Just assume she's gone to the paddocks, really. But she's come back and she's got a lot of big entries coming up. Like, they put her in the Eclipse, so they're obviously keeping the faith that she might be able to even improve from a really, really smart three-year-old form. But you couldn't really trust her first time out, particularly as conditions could be a bit testing a Haydock. I did the Edge this morning, and in our guide model tool, we were projecting that it's actually going to be much more testing than they were suggesting. There's like heavy soft in places today. It's going to dry a bit, but it's not going to dry that quickly. So I think it could be a test. And Sparks Fly absolutely loves it. Loves the mud. Loves it soft. Can't have it soft enough. Thought that was a really good effort in the Huxley Stakes last time. Only beaten 2 lengths by Lamborn. on the ground that is much faster. The ground was much faster than the good that it was described. That was her best effort by a long way on good ground. Getting back on a soft surface is definitely going to suit. I know her trainer thinks she's up to winning a Group 1 later in the season when she gets her conditions. I could see that. I could see her nicking one. She has a £5 penalty to incur, but she's going to be hard fit, and I don't think she'll be out the first three.
So, Robbie with Sparks Fly then in the opening race that we're covering from Haydock. Matt Rennie, who do you like?
I was torn between Sparks Fly and We Might Take the Long Way, and I've landed on the latter. It's good to see Friendly Soul back, actually. She was brilliant in the Prix de l'Opera a couple of years ago now. And I said, Robbie, I just assumed that she's gone to the Broodmare Band for George Strawbridge. But look, you got to take her on, given she's coming back from such a long layoff. I think We Might Take the Long Way was a really, really good three-year-old filly last year. Look, she was very disappointed in her comeback, but she, last year on the three-year-olds campaign, she was well beaten fifth on her debut run of the season before winning an Avon Group 3 on soft ground. And then she ran terrifically in both the English and Irish Oaks on both games. She was second to Minnie Hawk in the Irish equivalent, and ran a stormer on a very soft ground Prix de l'Opera behind Barnavara, beating only half a length in the end. I think this is a nice sort of drop in what she was facing last year. She's also getting £5 from Sparks Fly, and that, given the ground, makes her, you know, would definitely increase her chances. So We Might Take the Long Way for me.
Okay, yeah, both gents taking on the favourite, Friendly Soul. Ed, will you be?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point that Robbie makes, because if you have been off the track for a long time and you've got summer's targets in mind, why would you kind of be wanting to even run this race if it was very soft with the mare coming back off? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it did go as soft as Robbie says, that they might take her out, because you don't want to give her a hard race. But if they do run her on soft, then, you know, if she's not going to win, then again, they won't be. It's not all about this race, is it? It's all about bigger targets later on in the season. So I think Friendly Soul is definitely worth taking on, which does make the race look really good from a betting point of view, because that takes out 25-30% of the market. I'm just going for an improving filly here, Knocker Classica, who hasn't had that racing but is on a third trainer of her career. James Owen had her and Kevin Ryan had her before that, but Ed Bethel's done exceptionally well with her, two from two, and she won at Musselburgh last time in the style of a decent horse, always cruising behind the leaders, waiting for that gap to arrive. Didn't really arrive, but then they just went wide and won anyway. So does have to improve to beat a lot of these, but I'm kind of guessing Friendly Soul won't be 100%, because if she would be the choice. And so Knocker Classica at around 7-8-1 for an informed filly who's already had a run this season and won. That's not bad value. We're offering industry best price on this race from 9 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Okay, 9 o'clock Saturday morning, industry best prize. Knocker Classica is the one for Ed Nixon, but everyone taking on Friendly Soul in this opening race we're covering from Haydock. Let us know down in the comments if you will be doing the same. Right, moving on then to the 220 at Haydock. This is the Silver Bowl Handicap. This is a three-year-old race over a mile. And currently looking at Unibet's website, Princeling is the 100-30 favourite. Crest of Fire, 6-1. Laurette Crown, 7-1. Lightning Thunder and Billy Corvezier's 9-1. 10-1 about Langstone as stars are, and 14-1 bar these. Matt, this is the first of our real tricky handicaps to solve this week. Who did you like in this?
Yeah, real tricky, and it's not sort of a strong fancy, given the draw is quite concerning. I think Crest of Fire could be a really good, still progressive at this level. You know, he's drawn an 11, which is very high for Haydock, and it's a slight concern. But he was terrific last year without winning, really. He bumped into some really smart rivals. Humidity on his debut, went on to win the Chesham Stakes. Hankalo, he got beat by at York. Obviously, he was a Group 3 winner last year, third in the French 2000 Guineas. McMurray twice, who franked the form by winning at Chester at their May meeting a couple of weeks ago. He had a really nice pipe opener on the all-weather at Southall in March, where he won by 10 lengths. He did all he needed to do, really. I just think maybe off a mark of 86, he's still got more to come in this level, but the draw is a concern for me.
Okay, so it's a bit of a tentative selection at Crest of Fire for Matt Rennie. Robbie, for yourself.
Big fan of Princeling here, Sam. Backed him at the start. We actually backed him for the London Gold Cup last week. He didn't run. He's coming here instead. Just think his novice form lines are working out really well. On his second run in Newmarket, the horse he beat, Yazine, is now rated 104. Got a St. James's Palace entry. The third, Richie's Rockets, rated 96. He was best of the runners on the stand side there. at Newmark here. They're split into two groups. I'm opening a mark of 87. I think that's a very good mark. He's come out and won a weak Weatherby novice with plenty in hand. I think he's well treated on that form, and he's got an outstanding pedigree that suggests he's going to be rated much higher. So yeah, I think he's rock solid from quite a nice draw and stall too.
Yeah, I can agree with Robbie here. I think Princing looks like that potential. He's a group horse in a handicap. Are you in agreement?
He certainly is, but there are plenty here that could win the race. I mean, the soft going, the number of runners, the Haydock race course, the configuration. It's always hard luck stories normally on faster ground. Soft ground, they do tend to come up the middle of the track a bit more. There's so many imponderables here that it's almost impossible to have a bet, I think. But if I was going to have a selection, it would be number two, Laureate Crown. Again, we don't know if he'll go on the softer ground. That's one of the reasons why I'm not having a bet myself, but I just love the way he won the Isha Cup. If you watch the replay, Oisin Murphy was ever so confident on him from right at the back at Sandown, and just pulled him out. And although he only won by a length or less, he always looked like he was going to win. He's been put up £5. I think this horse is definitely ahead of the handicapper, but whether he'll win on Saturday is another case. But I think you should keep this one on side for the big handicaps for the rest of the season. And saying that, this is a race that always throws up loads. Win. It's a £100,000 race, just over 51 grand to the winner. I mean, every year we've been doing this postcast, the winner and the horses that run second or third, they win a load of races in the summer. So the soft ground is slightly worrying me. The race course track configuration always worries me at Haydock, but I would be on Laureate Crown if I was having a bet. And as it is a very difficult race, we are going extra place on this contest.
Now, I was about to ask them whether we have extra places, but we do. But Laureate Crown is the one for Ed Nicholson then. Right, we go to the 258 now, which is the Sandy Lane Stakes. This is a Group 2 contest for the three-year-olds over six furlongs. And Venetian Sun is currently the 5-2 favourite with Unibet Division, 100-30. Coppel, 4-1. Brussels for Aidan O'Brien, Sean Levy, 11-2. Rock on Thunder, 9-1. Five Ways, 11-1. Spicy Marg, 11-1. And Akpan is the 50-1 outsider. It's that time of the year, Robbie, where it's been happening the last couple of weeks, but we see those kind of Guineas horses who've had a go at the Guineas either stepping up or dropping back. And we see that example with Venetian Sun here, dropping back in trip. And, you know, over this trip as a two-year-old, she was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, her form absolutely stacks up. I mean, beat Starred in the pre-morning. That's top-class form. And then she hasn't gone a lot wrong in the Moyglare over seven, and then just simply not stayed, it seemed, in the 1,000 guineas. The return to six seems perfectly right. She has more of a spring pedigree. But it's not an easy assignment. I think Division's interesting. I mean, he's got half a length to find with Coppel from the, what's that race called? The Pavilion Stakes, yeah. It's normally a good trial for the Commonwealth Cup.
It was the old Commonwealth Cup trial, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So basically, he's missed the break. He's missed it by about four lengths, and he's only been beaten half a length in a race with a very fast finish. So I think that was a really good performance. He's going to need to break on terms here. He's the only really runner I can find with any sort of form with a bit of cutting underfoot as well. So that might be something else to think about. So it looks trappy, but I'd be quite confident on the Vision being the best of these.
Okay, another winner for Haggis and Kieran Fallon. Be interesting to see. But yeah, the Vision, potentially the one for Robbie Wilders. Matt Rennie, who for you?
Very much in agreement with Robbie. I really, really like Division here. You know, it was remarkable. He was beaten by only half a length in the end in the Commonwealth Cup trials. Robbie said what he did at the start. He also had to be switched left during the race as well. So nothing went right for him, and he still was only beaten half a length in a blanket finish. I've sort of no doubt if that race was run again and he broke cleanly, and then I think he would have still won. I think he'd won by a good length or so. He progressed remarkably quickly in a very short space of time last year. He only made his debut in the end of August, and by the start of all mid-October, he was a listed winner at York and mightily impressive on a good flat track. And as Robbie said, got some cut in the ground. Like, I love a Venetian Sun as a horse, but I think you have to take her on this occasion. I also just have my concerns that she was a big horse last year, whether maybe the three-year-olds might have caught up with her. It could be that case. And if she was to win, fair play. She's an absolutely top-class filly. But I think Division could really, really light up the three-year-old sprints in Division anyway. And I'd be keen on him back in the Commonwealth Cup as well.
Okay, yeah, Division. Two selections then for Division, which, you know what happens now, Ed, is the postcast bingo alarms go. And you've got to try and deal with the hat-trick horse. And it sounds like, and that face actually makes the suggestion, you're not going to be back in Division.
I'm in a quandary, Sam. because I absolutely love Venetian Sun for all the reasons that we know. Regular viewers of the podcast will know why. And also, I think she'll win the Commonwealth Cup. She's 8-1 favourite. I spoke to Tony Bloom's racing manager at Chester a few weeks ago, and that's the plan. And she obviously has won over course and distance. It's the ground that puts me off, as the lads have said. I just don't know whether looking at a four, she's only running yielding. That's the slowest ground she's running. So we don't know. She might handle it very well. So I've written down in my notes Venetian Sun, but I am going to have a division hat trick. I'm going to go for division. I just worry about the ground. What Robbie's told me is also worrying, because on the Racing Post website it's down as soft, but it says mostly cloudy. So the fact that he's told me that it's going to rain even further, I think is going to suggest for division. And he's also said something about the rest of the animals in the race. None of them really showed any form on with cutting the ground. So, I mean, obviously they can, and there's a few that haven't tried it, such as Venetian Sun, so they might. But I think you've got to be with division. I really do. So, yeah, division hat trick. Although, if Venetian Sun does win, I'll be kicking myself.
You can have that anti-post bet for the Commonwealth Cup. That would feel a little bit better. But yeah, I'm not taking Stard as the hat-trick horse. It was too obvious. But we'll take Division as a hat-trick horse this week on the podcast. So there we go. Let's go on to the next group two. We've got the 330 at Haydock, which is the Temple Stakes. And currently Knight Raider tops the market at 5-1. Magira is 11-2. Asphora is 7-1. Shagran also 7-1. Jack Ajaro has been in fine form this season, 15-2. JM Jungle and Frost at Dawn 9-1. And then double figures bar these. Robbie, I'm sure our Australian producer Belle, who does a great job with this show, I'm sure she'll be cheering on Asphora this week. And I had a concern with regards to the ground with Asphora, but I did do this at Longchamp at the back end of last season in the Abbey, and she proved me completely wrong. So I don't know whether the ground is necessarily too much of an issue. It's whether, even though she had a prep run, she's got bigger targets down the line still.
Yeah, I'd advise Belle to keep her money for Saturday. I mean, yeah, she did win the Abbey on very soft ground, but that's a massive draw race, isn't it? She was drawn stall three. That was ideal on the day. I think these sprints are a bit like, you can kind of just pick one or two at random and you got half a chance. A lot of them are just very volatile. I had a couple of stabs at the start of the week. The first one is First Instinct for William Haggis. I'm hoping Haggis has a good day. Tipping a lot of his horse at Haydock. Just got soft ground form, essentially. Shagran is among the favourites. She's sort of two or three times the prize of her, despite beating Shagran. Newbury, a few stops back on with cutting the ground. Then she was an awful draw in the Abbey, out on the widest stall. She had no chance there. And then I don't think she really wants to quit. She returned the Palace House, never really a factor, but sort of raced away from the action. I think she can go well. And the other one I like is Get Ready to Rumble. Plenty of soft ground form. His real eye-catcher, I thought, Nace on his return. He's been beaten only a length and a half by Mission Central, but that was a bit of a draw race. The first two came up the standside rail. Get Ready to Rumble was drawn low in a pack of runners, flashed home for third. He's definitely an improving sprinter, and the form's been frank. So I think they're the two that could go well, double-figure odds.
There we go. A couple from Robbie there. And as you were talking, Robbie, I did get a message off Belle saying, I'm having a bet on her, Robbie, be quiet.
Belle, so Belle. Keep your money. I sorted you out of Erzin, John. Come on.
Let's see who Matt Rennie likes then in this race. Who are you with?
Yeah, I'm not with Asphora. I'm with her at Ascot, but I'm not with her today. Yeah. As Robbie said, it's a merry-go-round in the sprinting divisions at the moment, especially the older sprinting divisions. So I'm going for one at a double-figure price who really took my eye at York's Dante meeting last week, Jack Ajaro. Look. He's been a handicapper for a while, but he looks a bit of just a completely different character for Robert Cowell this season. He bolted in at Newmarket at the Craven Meet, and he absolutely sloshed up last week when it looked like there was a perceived draw bias to the far side at York. He was on the stand side and then came to the near side, and he just blew his rivals away. In fact, I think four or five behind him all came from the far side, and he still had over 2.5 lengths on the field. It's one of these divisions where you could just have a handicapped springer could find that little bit of progression in a below par group horses. And I'm happy to take a chance with him. He's got form on soft ground as well when he was trained at Ireland. He's got form on good firm ground. So he's very much versatile, you know, ground wise. And yeah, he can just do it from the front as well. So I think just given the way the sprinting division is at this year and following on from last year, you might as well challenge your arm. Jack Jar, I think he's 12s or 14 to 1. So
he was my handicapper to follow last season. I can tell you now, it was a roller coaster. But if he was your handicapper to follow this season, you're not so much for a roller coaster.
He ran a stormer in Stewards Cup as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He's a top class horse. And I agree, it's just a bad division. We all know that. We talk about it every year. And, you know, you take your chances with these handicappers going into group company. Ed, who for you?
Well, first of all, we're going extra place. It is roughly 6-1 the field. Yeah. So it is like a handicap talking about the quality of horses in it. And having said that, I'm going to go for an ex-handicapper to win another group race. American Affair has transformed over the last two or three years. I think he was racing in the mid-70s. Jim Goldie has probably produced one of the best training performances of the last two or three years to turn this horse into a Group 1 winner, which he did at Royal Ascot, the King Charles III Stakes. And he ran not very well first time up, but 10 for 13. The betting suggests he needed that. I think he was 20-1 plus to win that. He's much more fancy to win on Saturday, around about 10-11. Has been nibbled at already, was 14-16s. And the key to this horse, I think, is that this would be the first big test for him. I think they have him ready. Jim Goldie's horses, I watched some racing from air yesterday. They seem to be running okay into form. And also, he has got a victory on good to soft ground. And there's a lot of horses here, once again, that have got no form on soft ground. And if they have run on soft ground, they've run disappointingly. I mean, I liked Knight Raider and Chagrin. That's where I started. But going through the form book, they not only don't seem to perform on soft ground, I think the Knight Raider's connections are quoted in the Racing Post website as saying that ground was too soft for him one day, and that was good to soft, I think. So I'm worried about Knight Raider in the ground. Chagrin looks to me to have a decent chance, but again, it's not 100% sure in soft ground. But there wasn't that kind of excellent horse in these kind of prevailing ground descriptions that I kind of really fancy. So I think there will be an upset. I think there might be a real change in the betting come Saturday if it does continue to rain. So I'll go for American Affair at like 10, 11, 12 to 1. But once again, it's a really difficult race. And you know, as I say, we are going extra place. But Jim Goldie, he's trained three generations of this family. So you'll know how to get this horse ready on the day.
Okay, yeah, American Affair then, yeah, 11-1, current Jim Golding, Paul Mulrennan for Ed Nicholson. Right, one more race from Haydock, probably not the best quality of races. We've got one more to look at, which is the 405, which is a 2-mile handicap, a class 2 event, and currently looking at the market, it looks like Charlie Johnson has been well supported. 130 is Polestar, Pridwin and Humble Spark 5-1, Venezuelan is 6-1, Blazon 5 and Hermetic 8-1, and double figures about the rest. And I was really keen on one before the show, and so was Ed Nicholson. So I'm gonna let you go first, Ed, and sell our horse.
Well, I think Polestar obviously is in pole position in the betting, but I think he'll be in pole position when he goes past the winning line. Johnson team like this race. They've won it 2 from the last 8 years. I thought he ran very well at Newmarket last time, over 1.6 miles. He kind of came under pressure in the middle of the track, hung with a visor on first time, but stayed on. I thought that was quite a good performance. It's not a bad race, that race, either. Goblet of Fire won it for Nicky Henderson. I thought the extra ground would suit. I thought softer ground conditions would suit. That's one of the reasons why I'm putting him up. He's won his only race he ever raced on in soft ground. So 1 from 1, 100% on the soft ground. The last two horses that Mark Johnson won this race with both won off marks of 98. This horse is on 89. I think he could improve. And I just thought on the ground, given the profile of the horse, he was worth a very good selection, Sam. So I was very pleased you liked him as well, because that, you know, you're a good judge. So that made me feel better.
Question that a little bit there, Ed. But yeah, Polestar, I look back at that winning the Racing League on soft ground. I thought that was really impressive. Typical Johnson horse from the front. And if this horse isn't winning here, then we'll be winning some sort of handicap at Glorious Goodwood, I'm sure. Matt Rennie, we're both with Polestar. You're clearly not.
But no bet for me in this one. No, but if I was to, it'd probably be Polestar. But keeping it dry for this one.
Robbie will ruin it then. Go on then, Robbie. Two-mile handicap.
I'm not interested. You haven't sold it to me.
Okay, fine.
Up for Hermetic, for Ian Williams, who's a guy that I rate with stairs. Good record in staying handicaps. First run for the stable at the Dante Mina York. Thought it was a good run over a 1.4. His form's over much further than that. He likes a bit of cut in the ground as well. So I think he probably would have found it quick enough on the Knavesmire. 2-mile win on soft in France, very lightly raced, dropped a pound for that. He raced away from the first three home as well. Time was fair. I think he's quite a big prize to me as Hermetic, and could see him definitely improving for that reappearance.
Okay, Hermetic then for Robbie Wilders and myself and Ed with Polestar, with Matt not having a bet, so that was plenty of races in itself. But we've got more races coming up. We've got York and Goodwood coming up shortly after this.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m. either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions. Percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not. Overnight market moves. Eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious Edge.
Here we are then. Welcome back to the second part of this week's Racing Postcast. Sam Hart, Matt Rennie, Robbie Wilders and Unibet's Ed Nixon spinning you through the ITV action this weekend. We take a trip across now from Haydock to York, where I will be on Saturday. Looking forward to having my first actually day where I'm not working at York and getting to experience it for what a lovely track it is. But we go for the 240 first, which is a 5-furlong sprint handicap, and it's a real, real competitive race, as they often are. And if we look at the market currently, Fortifications currently 13-2, King of Light 15-2, Van the Man 8-1, Air Force 1 17-2, Alvin 9-1, Strapture 9s 10-1, Sports Coach 10-1, 11-1, Pilgrim 12-1, bar these. Robbie's not having a bet, it's clear to see why. It's awfully competitive and very difficult to solve. But Matt Rennie, we're at York. I can't wait for this weekend. It might not be the strongest card considering we've had the Dante meeting, but there are some, you know, nice races and difficult races to try and solve there this weekend.
Indeed, I will see you there as well, because that's where my working shift is this weekend. Of course, it's Take That tribute acts as well after
race. Is it?
It is. I think they're called Retake That. It's famously tribute act sort of weekend and old race day as well. This race, as you say, it's incredibly competitive, as all York sprint handicaps are. I'm siding with Van the Man in this one. Really impressed with how he won at Hamilton on the Sunday series. Well, only what will be 6 days beforehand. Did even better. Well, I think more impressive. There's Tommy, because Tommy that day dropped his whip in the closing sort of half furlong and a half as well. So he found plenty without needing much persuasion. He had to get a £5 penalty in this race to get to race in it. But Jack Nicholls negates that by taking £5 off. So look, he drawn in one as well. Think that should be okay for him, given the way we've seen the sprints pan out this year at York already so far. So Van the Man for me to deliver for Jack Nicholls.
Yeah, I really like Van the Man. And Ed, this is the kind of race you've got to pray. And you'll never forget the winner if you do have it. And I just need to find out who you think's going to shine this weekend.
Oh, very good. I'm normally the one for the music puns. But this race here is so difficult. 21 runners. I mean, I tried to get an idea of where I would be looking from the draw, but the draw in recent seasons has been all over the place as well. The winner came from 13 of 13 last year, but there are other races before that. 7 of the last 10 have come from low numbers, including a stall one with Starlust a couple of years ago. So that wasn't any help. Fortification won last time out over course and distance. First time for Brian Ellison, came from Archie Watson's yard. But again, that would be my idea of the winner, but he's very short at 13-2. So it's going to be a no bet. But yeah, I think Fortification would be the one that I think most punters would be looking at. But it is such a difficult race. I mean, if you get the winner of this, you're doing very well indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a really, really tough race. So yeah, there we go. I apologise. I've actually just thought about what I just said and it was awful. Let's move on to the 3:15 then, which is their big group contest there. It's a group three, the Bronte Cup Filly Stakes, over 1 mile, 6 furlongs, obviously there for the fillies. And Daniela is the 8-11 favourite for the Gosden team. Miss Alpee is 4-1. Lava Stream is 13-2. Desert Spring 9-1. Miss Wong 16-1. Rock and Roll Pinky is 20-1. Tam and Desert 28-1. Robbie, Danielle is clearly the probably the well, she is the best horse in this race, and that's shown in the betting. But earlier in the week, we were discussing this. I know you like the other Gosden one, which unfortunately didn't get declared, Crepe Suzette. But Miss LP, can she climb her way to the top?
Maybe. You pronounced that correctly, because Miss LP is a mountain range in France. I'm sure plenty of our listeners are aware of that. I know some people around the office say Miss Alpilles and things like that, wasting their time. She's got a chance. This race is annoying me because I was on Crepe Suzette, as you know, not running. Danielle stepping in, very classy, fairly obviously. She does like cut underfoot. Is she going to get that much of a York? I don't know. But then I just thought, I think she's probably just going to be too good. I mean, she did run pretty well on good ground, and the champion fillies and mares came for a long way back there. So I think if they're happy to roll the dice and run her, I think she'll probably be too classy. Miss LP just looks like an out-and-out spare. If they don't go too hard over 1.6 miles, she probably wants further two at least. So, yeah, I think my conclusion is probably Danielle, but I don't want to back her at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Potentially the ground for Danielle, whether I know she has, you know, run well on this type of ground, but I'd probably rather it be a bit softer for her. And from what I've heard from the messages I'm getting going up there for the weekend, Matt, it's meant to be quite dry and a lovely weekend up in Yorkshire. Am I right or wrong?
Well, yeah, it's warm and a bit muggy and cloudy today, but tomorrow it absolutely spikes even further, and on Saturday as well. I think it could even hit 27 degrees here tomorrow, and we're going to have sunshine coming as well. So the ground is going to dry out pretty quickly. I know we had around just over 17 mil in York after the Dante meeting, but still it needed to take more than that after a really, you know, the dry sort of season we've seen so far we've seen across the country. So I've got significant concerns about Danielle's even running, to be honest with you. You know, the last couple of times she's run on, I know we might be looking at good to firm quick ground, but we could be getting to that stage where it's proper good with a little bit of good to firm in places by the time of the race. And her most disappointing runs have come on good to firm ground, and she's done really well when it's completely bottomless. Because of that, yeah, it's not one of the strongest group these, you see. I'm happy to back Miss Alpil. I know I thought she ran a lovely, it was fine race in the Sagaro Stakes last time. This is a group three again, but it's a bit easier because it's sticking to the same sex. And she also won over 1.6 miles at Goodwood last season. So I think if, you know, Danielle, as Robbie rightly said, is probably the class horse in the race, but there's enough concerns around her to warrant having a little flutter on Miss Alpil.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching her in that Gold Cup trial at Ascot. I just think that I kind of lined it up that this would be the ideal race for her. So I'm excited to see her turn up, Miss LP. Ed Nicholson, for you.
I agree what's been said. I mean, Danielle is the class horse in the race, and she's so far ahead in ratings that you can't really oppose her, but the price is just too prohibitive. I think you're going to have to show patience, Sam, to back her later on in the season, where she could be magic later on, especially at Doncaster. But I do think she needs soft ground. She might be the second Gosden horse to be taken out of a race due to the faster ground, the second mare with Friendly Soul. So it is watch this space, because I do think she wins. She's the wrong price, and she has been beaten on a seasonal appearance three consecutive years. She's not the wrong price. Sorry, that's the wrong thing to say. She's too short a price to get involved, given the concerns over the ground.
Yeah, can see it. Yeah, and I really like Matt's comment, just saying that, you know, there's every chance, if it does come up good to firm, that there's a potential of her not even running. I can agree with that. I could see
and that makes happen. It all the more annoying if Suzette hasn't been declared.
Exactly. Yeah, who probably would have liked the ground. So there you go.
I'm over it now.
Yeah, you're over it now.
What I'll be doing over the next 2 days is sending Robbie photos of the lovely sunshine on the nave.
Well, don't be doing that. Is it too late that we can put Crepe Suzette in as a superstar?
No, too late now.
Supplementer.
All gone. So there we go. That's York covered. I'm going to come off this postcard with a smile on my face, knowing that Take That's tribute act is performing. I'm a huge fan. So there we go. Let's move down to the South Coast then. Weird on a weekend like this, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be up in York. But Goodwood is our next destination. And the 125 is a 7 furlong handicap for the 3-year-olds class 2 event, which sees Startled as 9-2 favourite, Reciprocated 7-1, Catalyst 15-2, Wishard 8-1, Iron Will 9-1, Hilatani's 11-1, 12-1 about the rest. Robbie's the one who's avoided this race here, so going to Matt Rennie, and again I can potentially see why Robbie hasn't got a bet in this.
Yeah, it's incredibly tough, and I was very, very close to being the same as Robbie. It's a very, very sort of small flutter, you know, if that.
It's so open, but I was just thinking each way, maybe Cool Molly at double figure price, around 14s at the moment. I thought she ran really nicely at Chester on her last start. It was her first run back on turf after being kept really, really busy throughout the winter. In fact, I think it was her first run on turf, and thought she ran well behind McMurray, who I think I'm a big fan of in the handicap scene. She's gone up a pound for that, but that's negated. Shea Farmer's taken £7 off, and she's back down to her last winning mark of 75, albeit that, well, with Shea's claim, that is, albeit that was in a class 5 handicap at Southall in April, so a big step up's needed. But she likes to go from the front, and we all know what Goodwood's like, hard luck stories in behind. It may be that just happens in behind her, and she can stick on for a place. So a very small each way bet on Cool Molly for me.
Cool Molly, small each way bet. Yeah, it is tough. Ed, who did you like?
Again, really difficult race. We're going extra place and all the money back second, third in this race. I mean, it's so difficult at Goodwood handicaps anyway. But this is really difficult. I just fancied one at a price. Hiletani, George Bowie's team, always in good form, they seem. And Hiletani's been gelded since we last saw him. He ran in Dubai, and he's been running over 5 or 6. Very interesting comments in the Racing Post saying Billy Lochnane suggested putting him up in distance, but there wasn't a race in Maidan for him over 7. So they brought him back to England, and he won first time out. Quite a fair race, over 7 at Lingfield on the all-weather. And this will be his first handicap, which is quite interesting. Rated quite highly on 100. It's a very difficult race at 14-1 or so. I thought was worth chancing. Ran in the middle park as a 2-year-old. Obviously got a lot of back form and showed last time out that he's probably going to be suited by 7 furlongs and rather than the 5 or 6. So yeah, each way sneak at 14-1 or so in that first race at Goodwood.
Okay, Hiletani for Ed Nixon then, and Cool Molly for Matt Rennie. Now one more race to cover, and it's everyone's favourite Derby trial. It is the Cocked Hat Stakes here, the 2 o'clock at Goodwood, a listed contest, 1 mile, 3 furlongs here. And we've only got 5 runners, but we've got Saxon Street, who won the Blue Ribbon Trial at Epsom, 6-4 on favourite. We've got Del Maro, 100-30, Golden Stories, 100-30, Command the Stars is 22-1, and Oritical, 40-1. Oh, that's a difficult one for my voice to say. Saxon Street is, I'd say, an obvious favourite, but he's won last time out. You know, he's got the Epsom form that people might be looking for the Derby. It depends how impressive you think he is. But what I do find interesting is you've got Del Maro and Golden Story in here, and it's this Chester form. You've either got Del Maro, who was in behind Benvenuto Cellini, or Golden Story, who was in behind Constitution River. So I'm intrigued to know, Robbie Wilders, how you look at a race like this.
Yeah, it's an interesting race. My way into any race is if I think a favourite's too short, then I'll take them on. And I think Saxon Street is a bit short. He's won the Blue Ribbon Trial well, but I don't think that's much of a race at all. I mean, Balzac's been beaten much further in the Lingfield Trial behind Maltese Cross and Bay of Brilliance. New Zealand, the high in the Brown favourite, beaten even further. Nace last Saturday. I don't know exactly what he beat there. Golden Story, on adjusted RPRs, he's only got £1 to find on that Chester effort. Behind Constitution River, thought that was a pretty big effort. I mean, there's a chance that Constitution River is the best three-year-old in training. I mean, we'll find more out about that where he runs at Epsom or at Chanty. But I mean, that was a pretty good effort because, you know, it was only his second start, much more inexperienced than the horses around him, lacking a recent run. He looked a really nice prospect, I thought, on his debut at Doncaster, looking very green. He's still got a bit to learn. Whether this track's ideal, I'm not sure, but I don't think he's that far off Saxon Street at all, and that makes him a bet.
Yeah, okay, I agree. I think that's the form. The Constitution River form's the way to go. Matt Rennie, how did you look at it?
Yeah, so it's a watching brief for me, but more so for my anti-post sort of bets that I've had. I was so taken with Benvenuto Cellini at Chester, so I'll be almost wanting Del Maro to win to give that form a handsome boost. But as you said, it's for me, it's all about the collateral form of, you know, whoever wins, you'd be thinking then, oh, okay, so-and-so from Chester's, whether it be Benvenuto Cellini or Constitution River, okay, their form looks good and they might be more solid for wherever they go. I think we know Benvenuto Cellini is definitely going to Epsom. So Del Maro, I hope from a personal perspective, but watching briefing it as a sort of a fascinating last-minute Derby trial.
Yeah, I think we'll actually learn a little bit out of this race, potentially. We'll have to wait and see. Ed, for yourself then, is this a worthy favourite at the top of the market?
Yeah, I think so. That Blue Ribbon trial at Epsom's been quite a good trial, isn't it, over the years? So Gosling's won it with a really good horse a few years ago. His name really escapes me now, but Cracksman. Yeah. So you should take that on board. They do like running in the race, but it wasn't down as being a race this horse would run in. I didn't think they were quoting as saying that they might go straight to the Derby or go to another race. So maybe York, but so it's interesting they've gone here because this race has got a very poor record with the Derby in mind.
Okay, thanks for that, Ed. We're going to be getting the best bets shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Right, welcome back to the final part of this week's Racing Postcast. Sam Hart, Robbie Wilders, Matt Rennie and Ed Nixon. Now bringing our best bets for the weekend. Who do the panel fancy on the ITV card? I'll kick things off. I'm going to go with Van the Man in the 240 at York, the handicap sprint there. I think this horse's last run at Hamilton only a few days ago was really impressive. I like sprinters off a quick turnaround. They put Jack Nicholson claiming 5. He'll be the one for me. Robbie Wilders, your best bet, please.
145 at Haydock Sound, Sparks Fly. Going to love a bit of juice in the ground because they're taking a lot of pegging back.
Okay, yeah, so Sparks Fly and the 145 at Haydock for Robbie Wilders. Matt Rennie.
258 at Haydock, the Sandy Lane Stakes division. Should have won the Commonwealth Cup trial last time. I think he could be a possible new star in that sprinting game.
Okay, Matt with division in the 258 at Haydock and Ed Nixon to finish us off.
Yeah, 405 Haydock. Could be a really difficult day for punters. 10 races on ITV. I'm going to go for the favourite here, Polestar, who's already got a win in the book on soft going, which might be crucial because the ground might be softer at Haydock than anywhere else around the country. So Polestar in the 405 at Haydock.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with Ed. Polestar, the 405 at Haydock. You see our naps on screen there. Remember, give them a screenshot. See how we can get on this weekend. And do let us know down in the comments who you fancy. So yeah, big action-packed weekend on ITV. Looking forward to heading to York. If you are heading racing this weekend, do enjoy it. Do like, comment, share and subscribe. Big thanks to Robbie, Matt and Ed this week. And we will see you again very soon on a Racing Postcast.